Maybe just before I start here tonight, I'm going to read in the book of Philippians, but I want to just ask you, some of you may have this little sheet that was handed out this morning, just this little bulletin sheet. If you do, then use it. If not, if you got a pen and would like to write something down here, this would be, I'd like to encourage you to write down, number one, a spiritual goal for this week, As we pray, as we fast, it's important to fast with a spiritual goal in mind. Otherwise, it's just going hungry. But if you fast and you have a spiritual goal in mind, you're praying about a spiritual goal, then I encourage you, that would be a personal spiritual goal in your heart. And write that down. If you don't have a piece of paper, write it in the fly leaf of your Bible. That'd be all right too. Just write down goals 2022. Number one, personal spiritual goal. What I want to aspire to become, what I want to reach for in this year. Amen. It's important to have a spiritual goal. And then secondly, not only a personal spiritual goal, but also a ministry goal. That's right. It's not the preacher. It's not just a few select few in the church that are called to ministry. We are all called to serve and to minister in some capacity. Set a ministry goal. Lord, by the grace of God. Now, you may just write that down, and it may be that during the course of this week that the Lord will deal with you about some area of ministry that he wants you to step out in and serve in that area, and something that the Lord puts on your heart for ministry. So first of all, a personal spiritual goal. That's your own relationship with God. And then secondly, ministry, a ministry goal in your life. Ask the Lord to direct you so that you can do something for the Lord that maybe you haven't been doing. Or if you have, maybe you can step it up and develop in that area and do more, or do something at a higher level for the Lord. And so just write down some goals. I encourage you to do that, because really fasting is just setting aside spiritual or our physical appetites so that you can reach for a spiritual goal. Amen. So let's read now in the book of Philippians chapter 3. This is another one of those New Testament texts that is very familiar to us. But I want to read these three verses from Philippians 3 and 12, 13, and 14. Philippians chapter 3, verse number 12. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. Now, this, of course, is written by the Apostle Paul. He was inspired to write these words. And Paul is probably the greatest Christian that ever lived. And yet he said, I haven't attained. I haven't reached what I'm striving for. I mean, he was likely the most committed, dedicated servant of the Lord that ever lived. And it's evidenced by all the ministry he had and all the writings of the Apostle Paul in the New Testament, most of the New Testament, written by the Apostle Paul. And here, he gives a picture, or a, I guess you could say, a metaphor for the Christian life. And there are many, many of these pictures that are given in the Scripture to kind of demonstrate what the Christian life is like from a lot of different perspectives. And for instance, a soldier. Christians are compared to soldiers, those who fight the good fight, those that engage in the struggle and fight the good fight. Then there's also the picture of a farmer who sows good seed. And many examples in the Scripture that are pictures. Even a student is an example of a Christian in God's Word, taught by Jesus, the master teacher. And how about a citizen? A citizen. We're all citizens of another world. We all belong to another kingdom. And there are many, many other pictures or metaphors in the Scripture that help us to understand different aspects of the Christian life. And here in Philippians chapter 3, in these verses that I just read to you, the picture is of a runner in a race, an athlete who runs in a race and gives to us this example so that we could see our own Christian experience from that perspective, that we are to be like a runner in a race. And that's what the apostle is talking about here when he says, I haven't reached the goal yet. Not as though I had attained. The race starts when you get saved. When you're born again, this Christian race begins for you and for me. That's when it starts. And then we're on a particular track, a direction. And that is the will of God, the word of God, that we're on that track and we're in this race. We are running and we're striving. And our end goal is we want to make it to that wonderful place called heaven. That's our end goal. But all along the way, on our race toward the prize, there's many different levels of growing and prizes and development that God has for us. And in the Christian life, we are to be moving forward. And so we need to first of all, just think about this. We haven't reached it yet. We haven't attained the goal yet. Sad to say, some folks have become discouraged. They have lost heart. Their strength is gone. Their desire is gone. And I'm seeing this from a pastor's perspective and just, you know, here in our church and other places. I see that people, the times that we are living in, it is affecting our race. It's affecting how we're running. It's affecting our desire to reach the prize and to attain unto what the Lord wants us to do. And so we need to be reminded of the fact that we don't lose our first love. We leave our first love. We make bad decisions, and little by little by little, we lose heart. We lose our desire, our hunger for God, our longing for the things of God and for the presence of God and for the house of God. And I believe that as we enter into this new year, God is calling us to keep pressing forward. Keep running the race. Keep moving in the right direction, moving toward the things of God. We can't be distracted. We can't allow the cares of this life to drag us down, to distract us. We've got to keep our eyes on the prize. And I think that there are just a lot of people, a lot of good people, a lot of church folks, a lot of Christian people that they've got their eyes off the prize and on a lot of other things. Let me tell you, the smallest of things can pull you away from the things of God. Even things that are not necessarily sinful things can pull you away from the things of God. They can distract you. They can move you away. And the Apostle Paul is saying, I haven't reached it yet. I'm still striving. I'm still in the race. I'm running forward. I'm not perfect. I haven't attained that which I have been called to accomplish. But he says, I follow after. I follow after. That just means I keep on running. I keep on struggling. I keep on pressing. I keep moving forward. I don't allow anything to distract me from this important race. Amen. We keep going forward, no matter what, no matter what happens. We couldn't have imagined 2 years ago the things that would happen in 2020. We couldn't have happened. We could have never have imagined some of the things that we've gone through in 2021. And we don't know what this year holds. We don't know what the future holds. I don't think we need to move in the direction of this new year in fear or worry. But we just need to get a hold of God and get our sights set upon the prize. What God is calling us to do. Amen. So I think it would be good for you and for me also to kind of evaluate our hearts and our desires. Are we really fixed with a desire for the things of God? Or is it diminished? Is it weaker than it has been? Is our longing for the things of God lesser? You know, we have a big responsibility. If you're a parent, you have a big responsibility. If you're a grandparent, you have a big responsibility to keep your focus upon the things of God and don't allow anything to distract you, because there are a lot of little eyes that are watching you. They're watching how you live. They're watching your commitment to God, your commitment to the Word of God, your commitment to prayer, your commitment to the house of God. They're watching all the things that you are doing. And not only that, but there are people around you in your area, your sphere of influence, that they're watching how you're responding to the present time. They're watching your response. Do you have a desire for the things of God? We use this word when we want to talk about someone that's lost desire. We use the word nonchalant. And I was thinking of that word. I thought, well, I need to know what that word means, because I use that word, nonchalant. That word means to be casual, to show a lack of interest, to be unworried, untroubled, indifferent, nonchalant. That's a pretty sad thing to consider, that a Christian that one time had the zeal and the fire of God burning in their heart, but tonight you have become nonchalant toward the things of God, disinterested. The fire is going out. You're not troubled. You're not worried. You're just indifferent to the things of the Lord. All of the cares of this world, all the things that are happening around us can affect your spirit and drain the very life of the Spirit of God out of you. And you'll find yourself in that place that you're distracted from this race that we've been called to run. So when he says to follow after, it means stay at it. Keep running. Keep striving. Stay in the struggle. Don't give up. Just keep pressing. That means when you don't feel like it, you just press on anyway. That means when you're down in spirit, you just press on anyway. You just ask God, Lord, give me grace for this day. I don't feel it. I don't have the strength for it. I can't face it. But Lord, give me grace and power to move forward, to keep moving forward. Amen. Praise God. I tell you, it takes some energy to do the will of God. You can't do the will of God if you have lost spiritual strength and spiritual zeal and desire. You're going to find yourself falling by the wayside. You're not going to be able to accomplish the will of God in your life, in your personal responsibilities to your own walk with God, into your family, into all of those that you can influence for God. It's important because people are watching. They're observing all that you're doing. And you, if you lose heart, then they too will lose this great influence that you have upon them. And so we know that that Paul is just challenging us to push, challenging us to press, even though we don't necessarily feel like doing it. The challenge is you got to keep your eye on the prize. You got to keep your eyes on the call of God, on the purpose of God, the will of God for your life. Don't be distracted. I know there's been a lot of trouble and sickness and sadness over the last year or two, and a lot of folks have walked through that, and I understand it's overwhelming, and it's easy to get your eye off the prize, and we can't do that. And then in the text it says, "I count not myself to have apprehended." I don't believe I've arrived. I don't believe I can just coast along anymore. I can't coast. I have to be pushing. I have to be pressing. I have to be striving. That's what the Apostle Paul is saying. But then he says, "But this one thing I do." You know, there's tremendous power in focus and intensity. When you focus on things that are important to you, it's interesting to me, but some of these sports figures, they have a level of intensity that a lot of us Christians can't even comprehend it. And they're doing it for fame and for money and all of these things. I was reading about this quarterback. His name is Tom Brady. He's 44 years old. He's an NFL quarterback, and he has been for 22 seasons, 22 years. Do you know that the average, I looked this up, you can always look it up and find out, the average NFL player lasts less than 4 years. That's the average. He's been going at it for 22 years. And he not only plays, but he plays really, really good. He's pretty amazing in his skills. What's brought that to pass? How can he do that? Well, he's got a goal in mind. I want to make a lot of money. I want to win. I want to be famous. And he's had that goal, and he's been striving for it, and that gets him up at 5:30 every morning. He has his own hired masseuse that deals with his muscles, and he has a 5-minute massage the first thing in the morning, and then he goes into a workout with a trainer. And he spends 40 minutes in a workout with a personal trainer. Then he has a cool down time and another massage. His own personal masseuse that he's hired that works with him, and he's got his own personal trainer that works with him. He's very strict in his diet, only certain things he will eat, many things he will not eat. Doesn't eat any meat, doesn't eat any sugar, on and on the list goes of all the things that he does. And he does it all because he wants to throw a football and be famous. And he's worth about $250 million. And that's his goal. And that is why he has such an intensity to do what he has done. And to play all of these years, and now at the age he is, when he should have been retired a long time ago, and he's still doing it. It's focus, it's intensity. Let me tell you, if the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, from the preacher to every one of us, if we would develop a level of intensity and commitment to God, commitment to the things of God, if we would begin to pour into it with a great deal of effort and energy, if we could somehow just get the push back in our Christian experience, amen, to where we wanted to be in the house of God, and that was the priority of our life. We wanted to do the will of God, and that was our priority. We wanted to be in God's word. We wanted to be used of God. God's will was more important than anything that you are doing in your life. Pleasing God is more important to you. That's where we need to get back to. That's when revival comes to a local church and to a community, is when the people of God develop this level of intensity and commitment and realize that we're in a race and we're going to have to push if we're going to win. If we're going to make it through these challenging and difficult
times that we're living in right now and not just survive them, but move forward in faith and experience a move of God and revival in our hearts. And in spite of it all, in spite of everything that's going on around us, no matter how dark and wicked things might get and how awful the situation might seem in our country, in our nation, we are in a race. And you can't win the race in weakness. You can't win the race if you just allow the slightest little thing to knock you out of the race. You just can't do that. Every one of us have times of defeat and discouragement and trouble and darkness. We all have times. Amen. I don't walk up here to this platform every service feeling like I could just jump and shout and have a wonderful time, but I also understand that I have a responsibility and a calling and a duty, and I want to somehow spend enough time in the presence of God and in the Word of God that I can hear from God so I've got something to offer to the people of God. I don't always feel like it. Actually, I'm feeling pretty good right now. Amen. Pretty good, and I thank God for that. But I've had some seasons when I didn't feel too good, and I was struggling, and I was really weak, but God is faithful. You just keep pressing through the trouble. Keep pressing through the struggles and all the things that are going on. Amen. I hate to draw all these sports analogies, but I'm telling you, the strength and the stamina and the determination and the willingness to sacrifice, to lay down all of these things and all of it for a ball game. It has no eternal value, really, at all. All for some sports activity, and they do it all with all their strength and their energy, and they pour their everything in it so they can try to win the game. And then Christians in the church, we just barely get there to the house of God. Amen. I can remember years ago, one of the brothers, not in this church, the other church where I pastored years ago, he would come, he was a song leader sometimes, and he would come up on the platform and he would say, "Well, brother, I've had a pretty bad day. You're going to have to really pull me out of it tonight." And mumbling it. And I knew we were in trouble. When he got up to lead the singing, it was like death and defeat from the beginning. And you know what would happen is, I mean, he swung from highs to lows. The next Sunday, he was nearly jumping over the pulpit. He was so thrilled and so excited and doing so well. But the next week, he might be back down, barely making it. Amen. The Church of the Lord Jesus Christ can't move forward with that kind of, you know, spirit. We've got to have strength and stamina and determination. God can give to you the power and the energy by the power of the Holy Ghost to be able to do what He's called us to do. You just have to get a determination, a made up mind. I am going to press forward. I'm not going to allow anything that's happened to me. I'm not going to allow any trouble, any sickness. I'm not going to allow any of the darkness of my past. I'm not going to allow that to affect me anymore. And that's what the apostle gets to next. He says, forgetting those things that are behind. Forgetting those things that are behind. Amen. Now, there's not a person here in this building that you haven't had hardship. Everybody's had hardship. Everybody's had heartache. Everybody's gone through trouble. Everybody's gone through loss. We've all, you know, had our hearts broken. We've all experienced it. We've all gone through it. And you got to move forward. Amen. You got to press forward. You got to move forward. You can't look back. You see, a runner in a race, if he looks to the left or the right, he's lost. If he looks behind him, he surely has lost. The only way he wins the race is getting his eyes on the prize and running with all of his might toward the prize. With everything within him, running toward the prize, forgetting those things that are behind. There's a lot of distractions in our world today. And it takes a purpose and a determination to keep your eyes on the prize moving forward. Ultimately, you want to make it to heaven, but along the way, you want to help as many as you can get there too. You want your family and your loved ones and your friends to make it to heaven. You want to reach as many people as you can on the way. Your ultimate prize is heaven, but along the way, I believe we're winning some races when we see some folks come into the kingdom of God. Amen. Get saved. When we experience the church in revival and the power of God, the presence of God is moving forward, we're experiencing some wins in this race. Amen. Don't be distracted. Don't look to the side. Don't look behind you. Don't allow the past to weigh you down and to keep you down. Get a hold of God and press forward. Press forward with your whole heart. Amen. He says, forgetting those things behind. And I understand you're going to have help from God with this. You have to have help from the Lord to go through it. I remember when Brother Huff passed away. I'm not his kid, but he meant a whole lot to me. And it was very, very hard. I remember thinking, how are we going to keep going? How are we going to do this? I was thinking about things like the radio station and just the fact that any time I had a question or a need or I needed some counsel and advice, he was there. And it was good counsel and it was a blessing to me. And when he was gone, it's hard to think about the future. How can we go forward? But I realized not too long after he passed, we don't have any choice. We got to move forward. We got to move forward. The church has to move forward. The radio ministry has to go forward. Missions has to move forward. Everything that we're involved in and that he was a part of, we had to keep moving forward and keep our eyes on the prize. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Forgetting those things that are behind. Amen. And then it says, reaching forth unto those things which are before. That word there, reaching forth. It really is, the picture is of the runner in the race who is nearing the finish line and he is reaching with every strength, he's straining for the finish line. And that's what the Apostle Paul is saying. I'm straining. I am reaching as hard and as far as I can for the prize. Amen. Straining to move forward. Amen. A made up mind, a determination to move forward by the grace of God. And when you feel like you can't seem to move forward or get any momentum going and doing the will of God, call upon the Lord. Ask him for grace and for strength. He'll help you. He'll empower you to move forward. Amen. Praise God. Moving forward by the grace of God. Then he says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling. And another word there for that higher calling is an upward calling. An upward calling. We are moving toward this high and holy purpose that God has given to us. Amen. We want to make it to heaven. We want our children to make it to heaven. We want our grandchildren to make it to heaven. And there's nothing more important than that. I know that kids have a lot of needs and there are a lot of things that are important to them, but them making it to heaven is more important than anything. And more important than, you know, the latest shoes or Nikes or I'm not up with. There's stuff a lot more popular now than Nikes because that's of several years ago, I guess. More important than anything, more important than a $1,000 iPhone for your kids is for them. For one thing, they probably don't need it and you can't afford it. But what they do need is they need a mom and a dad who love God. A mom and dad that are faithful to God. They need a family that's pointing them toward the things of God and the Word of God, that are reaching toward the things of God. They need to be able to see that kind of commitment and desire in their parents. They need to see it here in the church. They need to see all of us, people of God, the young people, they need to see us after God with our whole heart. pressing into this race, running as hard as we can to please God and to do the will of God. They need to know God, and we need to help them reach their spiritual goals. Amen. So all you young folks here, teenagers and younger people, you should have made a list too. You need a spiritual goal for this week. Yeah, you could fast too, young people. You could go without a meal or two. You could fast and pray. We've ate enough turkey and ham to last us for a week or two. So you could just go ahead and fast and pray and set this goal in your heart. Young people, God can begin working in your life in a mighty way if you'll seek the Lord with your whole heart. Amen. That verse there in the New Testament that says that what have you profited if you gain the whole world but lose your soul? What have you profited if you gain the whole world and lose your family? What have you profited if you gain the whole world and haven't fulfilled the will of God for your life? What would it profit if you gained all the things of this world but you have not lived your life to please God? Now these few verses that we read tonight, there's this picture of a race that you and I are in. And that's what's on my heart tonight, is to ask you to seek the Lord and to pray about this and just determine. This is 2022. I know I can't relive 2021. I can't relive 2020. Nothing about it I can change. But I do know that I can press forward by the grace of God. I can move forward by the grace of God. And that's what he's calling us to do here in this new year, 2022. Let's stand together. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, that you could speak to our hearts about our need. We need you, Lord, so desperately. We need you, Lord, in this year, 2022. We don't know the future, but we're so thankful, Lord, that you're in control of it. And we can trust you, Lord. And I ask you, Lord, that you would just minister to everyone in this service tonight, especially those, Lord, that they just can't seem to have the desire or the heart to move forward. Lord, I know you can change that. You can do a work in them by the power of your Holy Spirit and stir their hearts to the possibility, Lord, of what you can do and how you can work in our lives. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Amen.